The Huddle, powered by Reuben James, Main Street in Burlington. Find them online at rjsburlington.com. Now, here's The Huddle, live on 101.3 ESPN, 101.3 ESPN.com, and streaming worldwide on the 101.3 ESPN app.
Oh, you pointed to me. What did you do?
What are you talking
you
about?
You pointed to me, and then you didn't turn on my mic
right
away.
I did turn on your mic.
No, I heard it. You popped it on.
You
anyway.
Do a take two?
No, that's all right. You're in the huddle right here. 103 ESPN. All the Captain Four. Brady's here. Rich is here. Artie's here. How you doing, handsome? What's going on, big boy?
It's just not the same. You got to do that again.
Well, no, you know, sometimes it just can't happen. You know, once in a while, it just...
Wow.
Well, he just right there. I feel like
George of the Jungle.
I feel like Peter Brady when he was
when he was 13.
Yeah, when he was getting reaching puberty.
It's time to change.
What? Everybody have a good weekend, man. Everybody was. Did you sell your house? That's the thing.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. One day it was gone.
Wow. Look at you.
Yep. Finally, now I can go find a nice little hut to live in the woods somewhere.
I was really hoping you wouldn't sell it, but you'd move out, so me and my buddies could just go there and like drink on the weekend,
and
like
party.
And leave cans all over your house,
like a clubhouse.
Well, that would be a first. I've literally never had one drop of alcohol in that house.
I don't believe you. That is so. No. How is that even possible?
It is impossible.
That's where.
Artie, you don't even drink. You've had a drop of alcohol.
I've partied in that house when Rich was out of town. Yeah. I wanted to know that.
That's funny. I don't remember leaving the doors open.
We had a roommate, Jason.
Well, that's true. Yeah, I can't deny
partied
that.
Partied like a rock star. So you sold it, and how long have you lived in that house?
8 or 9 years. Not very long.
And so you're going to move now?
Yes, I'm going to find a tiny little condo.
Well, don't be so quick. Maybe we could find some widower out there that wants to go ahead and have you move in if you're looking for a roommate, and money is no object for
Rich. I don't want a roommate.
$500,000, $2,000, $3,000, you'll go up $5,000. Makes no difference to you.
That's right. After all, I am on a lifetime radio salary.
Yeah, no. Money's no object for Rich if you're ever looking
for sure.
If you're looking for, maybe you've got a 10,000 square foot house and Rich wants to live on $5,000 of it, and you live on the other $5,000.
Maybe out on Mallet's Bay. Or up in the islands, maybe in Charlotte on the lake.
Yeah,
sure.
If text us, and you could that should be a contest. Have Rich be your roommate. Text us on the Tom Fair Tire text line, 802-655-6672. There are widowers out there. You don't know.
The Town Fair Tire text line is already on me. See, I made a mistake in the Sports Center because Rich, I said we were carrying the NHL tonight, and we are.
Yeah.
But I said
Penguins.
It was Penguins and Capitals.
Oh.
Obviously, it's the Lightning and Capitals. But Rich, you have to understand something.
It's a terrible mistake.
Rich has such ownership over our whiteboard here our schedule that he got so freaked out when I mentioned we were having an NHL game.
He jumped right up.
That he hadn't written on the board. He started freaking out, and there was all kinds of gyrations going on, and he threw my train of thought. So, yes, the Capitals are playing the Lightning tonight. I did say the Penguins, but it was very difficult to focus with Rich dancing in front of me, jumping up to the board.
You know, I thought you said that, but I'm like, no, you didn't do that.
No, I did. Yeah. I did. I admit the mistake. So, yes.
Glennon Milton caught it right away.
Glennon Milton is up for it, but it's very difficult to talk coherently and say everything right when Rich is in here gyrating in front of you towards the board.
Yes. That board, I can't deny it. It's all about me getting that stuff up on there, and I try to write as clearly as possible, which is very strange.
And remember, first come, first serve if you want Rich as a roommate. So there you go.
Well,
as long as they don't charge more than a roommate.
I'll tell you, $100 a month maximum.
No, you're
I'm literally looking for a shack in the woods.
We
have
Jason staying in like a mansion.
Is he really?
It was a 6-car garage.
Yeah. This was last summer. We got Jason a roommate and very affordable. Yeah, 6-car garage.
He had like a whole level of some guy's guest house.
Well, as long as they just leave me alone, I'll do it.
Nobody has to leave you alone.
I need to be left alone.
Yeah, so there you go.
The other life.
You'd be in the woods somewhere.
Yeah.
No, maybe somebody only lives here like a couple of months a year and then, you know, leaves their place.
But it was a circus at the house every time I was spying because I had to know if people were showing up. And it was a circus there. It was absolutely crazy. In fact, one of them decided to back over my mailbox and destroy it and then drive off.
Did you chase him?
Some waste of
easy. Did you see their license plate number or what?
Waste of oxygen.
That's probably the guy you sold it to.
Yeah, that's probably exactly.
That's okay. In that case, the price now just went up $100.
Yeah.
No, I did not see it because I can't be near the house. I wasn't allowed in my house.
Oh, so you didn't know who did it?
No, I just came back and my mailbox was on the ground.
If you live in a shack in the woods, you won't need a mailbox.
That's true.
So, one less thing.
Yeah, that'd
be
awesome.
No bills. How is Connecticut?
Unbelievable. Absolutely. It was lifestyles of the rich and famous.
Wow.
There were
You're
people.
Used to that.
Well, there were
living
people.
Living in Williston
yeah,
and all.
Yeah, of course. There were people wearing jewelry that was worth more than I made in my lifetime. I mean, the women's. At first, I thought I wasn't being funny because usually I'll crack some jokes and people will laugh. But I realized they were laughing. Their faces weren't moving. They had so much plastic surgery. So, you know, it was.
Nice.
They're like, oh, that's funny. I'm like, did I see you in the movies? Were you the Joker? Yeah. I mean, their faces were just not moving. They had, seriously, there were cars. I pull up in my Chevy Cruze,
yeah.
And I pulled up next to the. First of all, my brother-in-law has a Bentley.
Yeah.
So those are pretty pricey cars, I think.
Yes, they are.
I think they're like over $250,000.
Yes.
Yeah.
Depending, yeah, you could get it for in the threes.
Well, my nephew, who's 17 or 18, drives a brand new BMW SUV. Has a much nicer car than I do.
Man.
He has four kids, and they all have nicer cars than I do.
So you were a little out of place.
He has a 13-year-old girl that can't even have a license yet that's got a nicer car than I do. And every time, I was so out of place. They had a personal, not chef, but a team of chefs that was on the, what do they call that show, the Iron Chef?
Okay,
I've never seen it, but I guess, is it a contest? I'm assuming. Yes. The guy who won it was our chef for the day. And I'm like, oh, this is just crazy.
And it was in southwest Connecticut, which is like the richest area in all of the country.
Yeah, my brother-in-law is just like super, super, and I met all his super rich friends. And I'm like, dude, can we be friends? Can I just, whatever you want to do, I want to be involved.
Was he looking to get rid of some money?
No,
I
mean, they just.
I know you.
I'm just such a peon. They don't even want to look at me. Oh, okay. Oh my goodness.
Aren't they impressed by your 250,000 listeners?
No, I wouldn't even tell anybody what I did. I was just so ashamed. I just hid in the corner. It was just horrible.
Usually when you're in social situations and you say, I work on the radio, it's, oh, that's really awesome. And there they would have just poo-pooed it.
Oh, you would have loved this. They were giving out hors d'oeuvres. And everybody was chowing down on this one hors d'oeuvre, and I took a bite, and I'm like, oh, I wanted to spit it up.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the hell was that?
Whatever
it was. No, it was caviar. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they had caviar, and it was like some real expensive caviar. Like, it was like $500 a bite. And here I'm going, you know, just
spitting out $300
a
time.
Yeah, that's grotesque. It's like $500 a bite they're serving this stuff. The wine. And I'm like taking a sip and like, geez, do we have any like Dr. Pepper or something?
Yeah.
And the wine was like ultra expensive. I told you about the car. Seriously, I parked my Cruze next to there was a Bentley. I mean, the cheapest car was like a Corvette, a brand new vet. It was just disgusting. It made me realize I've got nothing in life.
Except for your beautiful wife.
Yes, well, I mean, besides that,
and us.
Yes, and you guys, of course.
You get 2 hours with us every day.
I mean, but
how do you put a price tag on that?
I mean, just to see how the other half lives.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just great. I need to get some of my, I need to have a life like that.
You were just in L.A. in Westwood. You act like you were.
Westwood? Let me tell you something. With the way these people live in Connecticut, oh my goodness, man. You've seen like Real Housewives or whatever. Orange County, Beverly Hills, or whatever. They've got nothing on these people in Connecticut. Oh, my gosh.
When he told me what town he was in, well, I'll say Weston, Connecticut.
Yeah, Weston, Connecticut.
So I looked it up, and it's the home of Christopher Walken and Keith Richards.
Yeah.
I can just see Keith out there chain smoking on the main street.
It is so bright. And the restaurants and just everything. Everything, just like the world is just like, it's just crazy.
So this was all for a 13-year-old.
All for a 13-year-old.
She must have made a killing.
Yes, I'm sure she did. Yeah.
Wow.
I told Beth, don't give her her present until after we leave because there's no way we can afford a check like everybody else's. I don't want to be around.
That's how it works. They just write checks at bat mitzvahs.
Check. Yeah. I think somebody gave her a car, but I'm not sure. I don't.
What did you get at your bar mitzvah?
We just got money.
Yeah, but
back then it was a lot less money because it was a long time ago.
It's like paper route money.
Yeah, exactly.
What'd you get your son at his bar mitzvah? Money?
He got money too. Yes, he got money also.
Money rules.
That's exactly.
Whenever you don't know what to get someone, give them money.
Yeah, so that was my weekend in Connecticut with the uber rich people. It was just and there was actually one cool guy I spoke to who played football at Wesleyan, and he was a attorney.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah, and he was like a big like he's an attorney now for he was an attorney for Geico, and now he went into private practice. I figured I could make like 10 times more money. Like, sure, why not? Make as much money as you want.
He was probably the poorest guy you met all weekend.
Yeah, he pretty much was. I think he was. He was the one in the Corvette.
So Brady, what did you do this weekend? Can you top any of these stories?
No, I had a great time, though. I played wiffle ball for charity.
Oh, that's right.
How did that go?
It was fun. Now that you guys weren't on my team like last year.
Dropping balls for home runs.
It went a lot better.
Wow.
So, did it pour?
Surprised we weren't asked.
I'm not.
Yeah, how could that be?
Yeah, I don't understand.
No, it didn't pour. We made it to the championship game. We did lose the title game,
though. Of course.
But, yeah, Arnie, you would have gotten us over.
Yes, of course.
Did the Norwich guys crush everyone in sight again?
I was on that team.
So
we lost 6-3. The only interesting thing that really happened was I played very well, by the way. Although, except for the championship, that was my worst game by far. But I
choked under the bright lights.
I was like 20 for 24 for the whole weekend.
Wow.
Probably.
Sounds like high school.
But you wouldn't get 20 hits in like 20 years worth.
But I did get out twice in the championship game. Maybe three times. Maybe it wasn't 20 for 24, but I definitely was like 20 for 28 or something.
Sounds like Mookie.
So there's a kid who I went to high school with, was 1 year younger than me, that lives in Burlington. And I see him around town every so often. His brother played with me in high school on the basketball team. So I got asking, like, hey, what's up with your buddy or what's up with your brother? And he goes, oh, he lives down in Brattleboro. So I was like, oh, cool. Does he ever come up? You know, I'd love to see him if he does. He goes, no, he doesn't come up too much. He's too busy. And I go, what's he doing? Busy with work? He goes to a school down there training to be in Cirque du Soleil. He does acrobatics, and he's trying to be in Cirque du Soleil.
I want to be in Cirque du Soleil.
In what?
You would.
Cirque du Soleil.
Cirque du Soleil.
I want to be a trapeze guy.
So who knew that there was a school for Cirque du Soleil in Brattleboro, Vermont? Did you?
I didn't know there was one in Brattleboro, but I knew there was like clown school. I didn't know there was Cirque du Soleil.
This place is clown school every
And
day.
So then Friday, we had the double date, Jess and I, and this other kid I went to high school with who lives in the area, who we hadn't spoken in 10 years. We went down to Foam.
Does he want to be in the circus, too?
No, he does not. Okay. But we went down to Foam Brewers right on the water.
Yeah.
And it was great. So, yeah, we hadn't talked in 10 years. It was great. And now I got another buddy in Burlington who's up from back home.
Nice. Busy weekend. All right. And it's beautiful out there today. We got a lot to get to. So, Brady, tell everybody what's coming up for the week. What do we got on today's show?
Well, trivia tomorrow, Burger Bar, Colchester, 7:30 to 9:30. Remember, you can listen to the show now always on your Amazon Echo by saying enable 101.3 ESPN. And then once you do that one time, all you have to say is open 101.3 ESPN. Mistake of the day, Glennon Milton's already the leader in the clubhouse, but I'm calling bogus on that because Rich made me mess up by looking at the board so intently.
There's a violin.
Mistake of the day is brought to you by Embroidery Works at Joann's Uniforms in Colchester, helping small businesses with screen printing, embroidering, and vehicle lettering to get it right the first time. As for today, Larry Culmus, the voice of the Preakness Stakes and the Kentucky Derby and the Belmont, he's going to join us in about 5 minutes from now. Tom Brady and Gronk miss OTAs to start Phase 3. The most embarrassing thing your mom has ever done to you in sports. Monday Mirage is at 5:20. And Arnie, this is the part where I usually say, but first we'll talk about this, but your story time took so long.
Wow.
Now we have to break.
All right, we'll get to who coming up next then, Brady.
Larry Culmus, voice of the Preakness Stakes, the Kentucky Derby, the Belmont.
He's calling it all, huh? He's doing it all.
He does everything. He's the big one. It used to be Tom Durkin. Now it's Larry Culmus, when they say, and down the stretch they come.
Right.
That's him.
So, like, with a minute left in our interview, is he going to scream that out?
If you want him to, Rich, maybe he'll do it just for you.
I would like to hear that. We'll get to Larry coming up next. Busy, busy show today. It's a Monday. You're in the huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN.
You thought the ESPN network hosts were opinionated.
Unsupportable opinion.
It's the huddle with Rich, Arnie, and Brady on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN, starting a brand new week off. I don't want to put you in a bad mood, Rich, but I want you to know something. When we were trying to find a place for Jason to live, we got like 100 texts of, come live with me. No text for you so far.
No, nothing.
Nothing.
Nobody wants to live
with me. Don't feel bad, though.
I'm sure, a really easy roommate.
I'm sure the text line is probably not working. 802-655-6672. If you need a roommate, good-looking roommate, super rich, and money's no object.
Right, me.
Oh, yeah.
Is that what you're talking about?
I'm talking about you.
I've been rich since I was born. I mean, I was Richard officially, but yeah.
802-655-6672. 7-2.
Do you think maybe the part about I only am willing to pay $100 a month rent may have driven a few of them away?
No, we're going to raise it to like $3,000 a month.
Is that right?
Yeah, we're going to get you a raise.
I see. All right, let's, and you're paying for that.
We'll talk more about that later on. We go right out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line. Joining us now, he was the voice of the Preakness. It's Larry Comas. How you doing, Larry?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Doing awesome. Thanks a lot for coming on. First of all, let's start with Saturday. Boy, that weather, how crazy was that? How tough was it to see? Were you looking at the monitors? Were you trying to see the horses on the track? What was going on?
Well, pretty much I would normally call a race through binoculars, but that was pretty much useless from 90% of the track. I could see maybe from about the 16th pole to the finish line. Everything else was just completely covered in fog, so I called the majority of the race off of a couple of TV monitors that were right in front of me. And the cool part of the story was that those monitors weren't even supposed to be there. Normally, we don't use TV monitors for the Preakness, but we put them in earlier in the week because there's a bunch of concert stages and tents and things that were blocking my view. So we decided to have them. And as it turns out, we needed them for almost the entire Preakness.
If you didn't have the monitors, what do you do? Just make it up as you go along? Nobody can see anyway.
It would have been bad. We'll
I think number five is winning. Larry, I mean, for me, play-by-play is what I wanted to do from the time I was about 5 years old. And I've had a chance to do some, especially baseball. But where does the dream of horse racing start for you?
Well, it's all I've ever done. I began when I was 18 years old. I called my first race at Bowie Racetrack in Maryland way back when. I started going to the track when I was a teenager, and my father installed the sound system at the Maryland State Fair at the track there, and I started to get interested in the game and got to meet a bunch of people and started listening to different horse racing announcers around the country and liked the fact that there are so many different styles. And I decided, yeah, maybe this is something I could do. And I started practicing calling races. And then one day the general manager of the track heard me and said, hey, why don't we get you started and you can call one race a day. And it sort of blossomed from there.
I've always thought hockey was the hardest sport to do as far as play-by-play. But I can't imagine. You cannot make even the slightest mistake with horse racing, can you?
You can maybe get away with it early in a race, but you try not to. You try to be as perfect as you can, but we're all human. I think hockey is probably the closest thing. We were having that discussion. I was talking with Mike Tirico Derby Week, and we were saying that there's very few sportscasters that he thought could do what we do as racetrack announcers, and the only one we were coming up with is maybe Doc Emmerich to figure it out because he's he's so great at hockey and pretty much everything that gets thrown in front of him, he seems to be able to handle very well. So it is definitely a unique profession, no doubt.
Larry, let's expand on your career as a whole. You were on the call when American Pharoah won the Triple Crown just a few years ago. What was that like for you? What do you remember about the final call at Belmont when it was the 37-year drought was ended?
Yeah, it was an exciting moment for sure. The most exciting moment of my career, and I've been doing this a long time, but just to be able to be the guy that got to narrate an event like that that had not happened in 37 years, and being a fan throughout my career and throughout my life in horse racing, that you get to be that guy, and here is that moment, and once it was over, there was just this unbelievable feeling of what just happened? Did this really just happen? And I remember, honestly, I teared up afterwards, and I tried to avoid being shown by the cameras because we had about three of them in the booth. And then I came out of hiding and started banging on the window, and I didn't even know I did it. It was just this moment of complete elation. Maybe in 3 weeks we're going to have a repeat performance. We'll see.
That's going to be exciting. Larry, I don't know if my co-hosts know this, but I'm going to play one of your calls later on in the show. I think you know what I'm talking about when you called down the stretch where the two horses were, my wife knows everything and my wife doesn't know, and which is like one of the most historic calls. Tell me about that, huh?
Yeah, that was something. I was back in 2010 at Monmouth Park, and out of sheer coincidence, my wife knows everything and the wife doesn't know showed up in the entries in the same race, and finished first and second.
Yes.
And it became a YouTube sensation and got played on SportsCenter quite a bit. It was the number one play of the day on SportsCenter, and it was pretty crazy. But as I tell people, I'd rather be remembered for calling a Triple Crown than that. But people do seem to like it, and so I guess it's a good thing.
Oh, yeah. In this day and age, you have no idea what you're going to be famous for. That's for sure. But Larry, you do races at Saratoga. A lot of our listeners flock there a little bit later on in the year. What's that experience like at Saratoga?
Oh, you mean the greatest place in the world?
Disneyland?
I mean, it is Shangri-La, man. It is so much fun for those 6.5 weeks up there. For years, I was the announcer at Monmouth Park, and I would visit Saratoga once a year. I would come to the races on Monday. That would be the only day I could go, and that's the quietest day. And I remember I would walk down the street on Broadway on Tuesday before I came back to Monmouth, and I would say, maybe one day. And then when Tom Durkin retired and they came and said, you want to be that guy, I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to be the announcer at Saratoga. And there is no better job in horse racing than to be the announcer at Saratoga. I just you just can't believe it unless you're there. The crowds every day are huge. You just don't see that anymore, and it's just such a remarkable thing to be at Saratoga and to be the guy that gets to call those races.
Larry Kalmus, voice of the Triple Crown, with us here on The Huddle on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Larry, as someone in yourself who is involved in a sport where gambling is already legal, what impact do you think last week's Supreme Court ruling has on sports in general? What have you seen in horse racing that maybe we can learn for some of the, quote, more mainstream sports?
As far as betting on sports?
Yeah.
Or as far as how it related to horse racing?
No, just on betting on sports in general.
I don't, I'm really not too sure on that. I would just say that, for horse racing, it's one of those situations where if you're, and I'm not a big bettor myself,
uh-huh.
So probably not the right person to ask on that, but I think if you are someone who bets on horse racing on a regular basis, you're going to have to do a lot of research and a lot of work. And I think the same can be said for sports. If you just go and bet on your favorite team, fine, that's okay. But, if you plan on trying to make money off of that, maybe, you need to do a lot of research and just be as prepared as possible.
Larry, Justify, on his way, two-thirds of the way to the Triple Crown. What do you think, my friend? It's certainly going to be the big favorite when it's all said and done for the third leg of this.
I think so. I mean, his Preakness was not as commanding a performance as his Kentucky Derby, and his the numbers that he ran by the speed figure people was a little slower than the Kentucky Derby. But maybe that's a good thing. That could be that was the race where he showed a little bit of regression, and then with 3 weeks he can come back and put on a good show. He certainly has the breeding to get a mile and a half. He's also got a lot of early speed, which I think is a benefit. American Pharoah won the Belmont Stakes wire to wire, and Justify will probably try the same tactics. A lot of it depends on if he's tired from the first two efforts. American Pharoah wasn't, but a lot of the other ones were. And you also need to find out how the race is going to shape up, whether somebody really goes after him and tries to beat him early and tire him out late. There's many scenarios out there, but I think he's as capable a horse to win the Triple Crown as American Pharoah was, and
wow.
And he's got that one thing that he's got going for him that Pharoah didn't. He's undefeated, which is a really cool thing. We haven't had an undefeated horse win the Triple Crown since Seattle Slough back in 1977, so that would be a remarkable accomplishment if he's able to do it.
Larry, we'll get you out of here on this. I'm from about 20 minutes south of Saratoga. I've been to Saratoga many times in my life, and I feel like I've won about 3 races in my entire life. So when I go again this summer and I get the racing forum, when I get the program, what is the thing I should be looking at first? Trainer, jockey, distance? What am I looking
good
at
name.
First? Help me out.
Good name.
whatever works for you. I think that Saratoga can be very tough because horses do tend to come from a lot of different racetracks, and it's just a different type of racing surface, and it's a tough place because you do see a lot of upsets there. But I don't know. I think you know, lately it's been, you talk about trainers and jockeys, they have been prominent with Chad Brown and Todd Pletcher, those two trainers winning a ton of races. And on the jockey side, the Ortiz brothers, Jose and Herrad Ortiz, seem to win a bunch too. So, you know, if you stick with them, you're gonna probably cash a lot of tickets.
All right. Well, Larry, thanks a lot for stopping by. We certainly really appreciate it. Good luck on the call for the, for the triple leg, for the third leg of the Derby, and we'll see what happens there. And we appreciate you stopping by.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
All right,
thanks, Larry.
Thank you, Larry Comas, stopping on by.
That'd be the Belmont.
Yeah, that would be Belmont.
I couldn't think of it right off the top of my head.
I can tell you, like, we're having a brain fart.
I was like, what the heck is it? There's something there. You know, my old radio producer is a horse racing play-by-play guy. I wonder if Larry knew him. I was going to throw his name out there.
Wasn't that weird hearing him in just sort of measured, normal conversational tones? I mean, I recognize the voice. It's like, oh, yeah, that's him. But you're so used to him being up here all the time.
That is Last Story Standing. So is the call on the horse race.
From 2010?
From 2010. with those two horses. I heard that today. And I'm like, oh, is that classic? That is, I mean, it's just the funniest thing you ever heard. And obviously, it's still notable. He said he got more downloads and, you know, on YouTube than you could ever imagine on a
horse. You never know what you're going to be famous for in this life.
Yeah,
that was a lot of fun. As someone who has gone, you know, again, has gone to the track a bunch of my life, and he didn't take over for Tom Durkin more than maybe two or three summers ago, so it hasn't been forever that he's been in Saratoga, but just to go there and you hear him every race for, you know, if you go for the entire 6.5 weeks or whatever it is up there in Saratoga, It's pretty cool. That was actually the first time I've gotten to talk with Larry. He'd been on my old station before, but I'd never spoken to him, and that was pretty cool.
All right, we've been ducking it, so let's get right to it. Disgusting, absolutely disgusting. Game 3, Cavaliers won. I think they just scored again. 116-86. Embarrassing every which way around, though. Again, it's only just one loss, but they really pounded them. And I took a couple of things from this game. First of all, LeBron shot 12 times. Just on a little side note, I really thought, first of all, we all agree that if the Cavaliers would have lost, they would have been down 3-0, series over.
Yes.
To me, that meant that there's a possibility that this could have been LeBron's, for the most part, final hurrah in Cleveland. When Kobe had his final hurrah in Los Angeles against Utah, he scored 60 points. I said to myself, if LeBron's going to go down, he's going down swinging, because this could be his last. This is Cleveland, last time go around. The fact that he only shot 12 times makes me think that he wasn't thinking that way and that he may be in Cleveland for years to come. That's the first thing. Two, the way the Celtics came out, I'm thoroughly embarrassed. You had a chance to go ahead, and you were one game away from going to the NBA Finals, and you wait a because if you go up 3-0, you have it done, and you come out. It's one thing to lose, Rich. But it's one thing to lose the way they did and just fall flat, never really have a chance.
So
really
then what, what's your word for Houston last night then?
Same thing, though.
Okay.
Well, that was even worse. But except Houston was on the – well, not really. There's no difference between 40.
Houston was on the road same as Boston was.
No, but I'm saying there's no difference between 40 and 30. I mean, if that's what you're asking.
No difference between 1 and 40 at that rate.
No, there is. In confidence for the next game, I really thoroughly believe there is. And maybe it's not going to make that much of a difference, but – I got to tell you this. I think Cleveland is going to tie this up, and it's going to go two games apiece just on the way they handle them. If it would have been a close game in game three, I'd probably feel real different about the game tonight. And for Houston, man, I was thoroughly embarrassed with the way they played. Yeah. That was kind of disgusting also, and I got on them also yesterday.
That game three for Cleveland-Boston was the easiest call to make in the world. I mean, I said it on Friday. Was there any doubt that was going to go Cleveland's way, and probably in blowout fashion? I mean, I brought up the game 6 of the Milwaukee series where the Celtics just went through the motions, and every now and then it happens. They shut Horford down. They figured out how to play some defense. They hit all their shots early, got up early, rode the crowd, and that was the end of that. I mean, there was no question that was going to happen.
It's what we talked about on Friday when you were gone, Arnie. Everything we said that Cleveland needed to do is what they did. They hit 17 threes. LeBron got his other teammates involved. You talk about him only shooting 12 times. But he shot 29 times in game 2 in that loss in Boston. So he played a different way. The role players stepped up and hit those shots. The ball movement for Cleveland was much better because it wasn't predicated on LeBron playing hero ball the whole time. That was the biggest difference. Then you throw in LeBron playing better defense. I mean, Celtic players were 2 of 10 on LeBron on Saturday night. LeBron made a commitment to defense and was able to be effective defensively, and that jump-started the offense too.
But that's not why they lost. You want to know why? Because I knew they lost the game, and I could say this now because it was a blowout. At 9-4, I said, there's no way they're winning this game. And sometimes you're wrong. You know, sometimes when a team gets up 14-0 in football, you're like, it's over. You know, you're like, we're 5 minutes into the game, and you know it's going to be a blowout.
Well, it was just like the game one. I mean, the Celtics went on that 17-0 run, and it's like, good night. That's it. And for whatever reason, home court. I mean, at some point, Cleveland's going to have to win a road game to win this series. And when will that be? We'll find out. But I think tonight's going to be a lot closer. Game fours are always really fun. Because game fours are the complete turning point of a series. Either Boston takes complete control of the series or Cleveland ties it up and has all the momentum in the world heading back to Boston.
By the way, do you know what the newest, I guess you could call it a rumor is? Not only the Celtics, you know, Kawhi Leonard, you heard that. But now people are like, I don't know how you could keep Gordon Hayward. How could you bring him? There's no room. You got to, and now people are like, you got to get rid of him. And that's what they're talking about now. I'm getting a big chuckle out of that. Huh? Is that funny or what?
So you say bring? Well, this could go on forever. Yeah. But so you're saying bring in Kawhi Leonard and get rid of Gordon Hayward?
Absolutely, absolutely. Talk about a dynasty there. All right, Brady. What do we got coming up next?
Well, coming up next, Brady and Gronk not at Patriots OTAs. Are people still saying no big deal, or is it finally important?
All right, we'll get to that. That is next. You're in the huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN.
The Huddle with Rich, Arnie, and Brady. It's really sort of an addiction. 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle right here at 101.3 ESPN. Jeff in Plattsburgh on the Tom Fair Tire text line. Arnie, you're way too honest. Flabby gut, really? We say it the way it is, man. We call it the way it is, whether they're related to him or not. We call it the way it is.
You have to go home with her at the end
of
the day.
I got to be honest.
How are you still married?
I don't know. She went from having a big gut there to working out and now having a six-pack. So I got to give her credit for that. She looked very good in her dress. You know how some people wear a dress and you see the gut hanging there? It's too tight. She didn't have a gut hanging out
Well,
anymore.
You could tell she'd been hanging out with some wealth this weekend because the outfit she showed up in today was got to be a grand.
Yeah. She probably took that from her sister. So there you go.
I figured maybe she snagged it the clothesline Weston.
I wish I was so rich like that. It's disgusting. It's disgusting.
Yeah, who wants to be rich?
All right, Brady, what's going on with the Patriots?
Well, Tom Brady and Gronk. Still not around. Again, the voluntary portion of the Patriots offseason continues. OTAs day one, TB12 and Gronk not there. Look, there's two schools of thought to this. The side that's okay with this says, oh, it's voluntary, no harm, no foul. And the other people say, face of the franchise especially is not there to work with all the new players. What side do you fall
on? Actually, there is a third side. There is a third side. I'll tell you what it is. Brady, if you invited me to a party, okay, and I just said, you know what, Brady, I can't come to the party. I got this going, or I got to go to Los Angeles or whatever. I'm sure it's going to be okay. So, you know, kind of like not going to the OTAs. But then if I said, didn't answer you at all, right? You had no idea if I wasn't coming or not. And that's what's going on here. It's one thing if you don't want to go to the OTAs. It's one thing if you made it known, you know what, I don't want to go. I'm a veteran. I've been around 50 years. I've won so many Super Bowls. Or maybe I got a bad knee. Or maybe I just need mentally. If Tom Brady came out and said, I need a mental rest. I just don't want to go to OTAs. Case closed. We wouldn't even be talking about this right now. Wouldn't even be a subject. I'm saying he's leaving it. So we don't know what the hell is going on. Right. You know what's so funny is you make fun of me about the Zesty Patriots. And maybe I should this time. Before the show, 1 hour before the show, they put out, Gronk and Brady are going to be at OTAs. 22 minutes later, they said Gronk and Brady won't be at OTAs. Nobody knows what the hell they were doing. Why was this a secret? If they didn't want to come, why didn't they just say, yeah, Gronk, I've got an appearance. I'm not coming. Brady, I'm on vacation with my wife. They're playing games. And to me, that's the most dangerous thing. And that's the most awestruck thing is that they're playing games not only with the media, with their teammates, and with Belichick and with Kraft. I think that's more important.
So apparently you have Belichick and Kraft's office bugged, and you know that Brady never did get in touch with either of those people.
Well, I know the media doesn't know. I know that for a fact. The media doesn't know.
So Brady may very well have called and said, look, I'm with Giselle and the family. We're off in the Caribbean or wherever they are. We're on some island. Showing up.
I got no problem with that. But why is the media left in the dark over something like this? You would think you would want to come out and just say, you know what, Tom wants some time for himself and nobody would say a damn. It's better to come out like that than to hide the fact what the hell's going on.
Look, I think this is a big deal, and it's a big deal because, one, Tom Brady doesn't miss these. So when you start talking about him deviating from his normal behavior, I think that's important. I mean, even back in 2013, these are his exact words. You think, oh, God, it's just another OTA in the springtime, and it's not that important. But he goes, the truth is, this lays the foundation for the start of training camp. If you have a good training camp, it usually means a good start to the season. And a good start to the season leads to a good position entering the second half of the season, which leads to a good playoff experience. So everything ends up having some significance to it. He has told you in the past that this matters, and now he's willingly blowing it off. Again, two things can be true here. This doesn't mean the Patriots are going 6-10 and missing the playoffs.
Right, right.
Yes. The two things can be separate. It can be a big deal, and it can also end up still being okay that they go 13-3 and get to the Super Bowl. But for today, I think it's a big deal.
Well, my only concern is that if they do go for some miracle, they do go 6-10, then everyone's going to say, well, Tom Brady and Gronk never showed up at the OTAs. They didn't get a chance to bond. I just think when we're quoting things from 2013, you wonder if maybe Brady has had a bit of an epiphany and just said, you know what, and you're starting to hear it a lot more, too, not just from him, but from Giselle, about the concept of spending more time with family. It's just part of getting older.
Who looks bad here? Brady? Gronk? Or does Belichick look bad because it looks like he's losing the team?
Right now, I still think that Giselle looks the worst.
No,
I really
do. That wasn't a joke. I was being serious about that.
No.
Well, go ahead.
I really think Giselle looks the worst because I think this all stems from her.
I was going to bring her name up,
yeah,
too.
At its core, I think it stems with Giselle. Gronk doesn't look as bad to me, one, because he's a skill player that's not a quarterback. There are players all around the league. Aaron Donald with the Rams is not at OTAs. I'm not going to crush him. Earl Thomas in Seattle is not there.
Right.
Guys that aren't quarterbacks, I'll give them a little bit of leeway, too. And Gronk also is in the process of restructuring his contract, we learned today. He can't do that officially until May 24th, which is Thursday. If he shows up on Thursday, then I will have no problem with it. But the quarterback being there, when you talk about – he talks about jiving with new players. They've got Jordan Matthews. They've got Jeremy Hill. They've got a new tight end in Troy Nicholas. They've got a first-round running back in Sony Michel. I heard Saquon Barkley talking all day today about how great it was to have Eli Manning right next to him all off season. Tom Brady's not there for these guys.
You know, I brought this up nationally last night, and we started to think about it, that it's not too far-fetched. I think Belichick is looking real bad in this situation. I think Belichick's been looking bad in a few situations over the last year with this little feud that's going on, Kraft, Brady, this and that, the respect. I'm not getting the respect. I think, again, where there's smoke, there's fire. When there's when you're in a marriage, and that's what this is, between a coach and the best quarterback in the history of football, and a coach, maybe the best coach in the history of football. That's what this is. This is a marriage. Sooner or later, there's going to be a breakup. And everybody thinks, well, Tom Brady's going to be the one that's gone. I said this last night. We were talking about Jason Garrett being one of the longest tenure coaches in the NFL. And in 8 years, this guy's done squat for the Cowboys. And Jerry Jones has gone from, what, like 65 to 73 or something like that. Sooner or later, if I'm Jerry, I'm like, enough of this. Enough of this. I want to win, and I want to win now. Get Bill Belichick on the phone because I know he's having trouble with Brady. I got a quarterback who's been here 4 or 5 years. It will be here for 5 years in Dak Prescott. Whatever you need, Bill, I'll give it to you. Come coach the Cowboys for the last 2 or 3 years. I'm not so sure Bill would say no to something like that.
Well, and of course, we'll throw out the idea that Belichick and everybody's mad at each other is pure speculation, but I do find what you said is very, very interesting about the idea. Would Bill Belichick, of all people, sell his soul at the end of his career like that?
Everybody has.
The thing I wonder, I don't know that Belichick looks bad right now, but where Belichick is going to be tested is how does he respond? And this is, we're getting into this now or two, but how does he respond when Brady and Gronk do show up for the first time? Malcolm Butler was late to OTAs by one day in 2015, and he called the team in advance to say, I had flight problems, I had a plane delayed, that's why I'm going to be late. Belichick didn't let him on the field for 3 weeks.
Right.
So if Malcolm Butler, who made the team aware of his issues and had just won them a Super Bowl, was benched for 3 weeks, what happens to Brady and Gronk?
Do you think Belichick's overstayed his welcome? Do you think he would ever go to work for Jerry Jones or something like that? Or would he just walk away and retire before he'd work for Jerry Jones?
No, I think at his age, he's more likely to retire than coach again. But I could see him being spiteful enough to want to go somewhere else.
Oh, definitely.
I could see him.
Spiteful? I think that's his middle name. What, are you kidding me?
At this point, I could see him being an assistant coach somewhere.
No.
You think he wants to be in charge of everything at his age?
Eric and Colchester, Arnie is nuts. The conflict is made up by the media. No, that's not true at all. No. Who's
yes,
on the line,
is.
Brady? Who's on the line?
Jason and Virgens.
Jason and Virgens. You're in the huddle, 101.3 ESPN. What's going on, Jason?
Hey, how much? Thanks for having me on. Darlington, Jeff Darlington wrote back, he's an ESPN producer-writer, he wrote back in April that he didn't anticipate Brady's going to be a regular participant in the team's off-season programs, that Brady plans to spend more time with family and his body coach, Alex Guerrero, and Brady did miss parts of Pat's off-season program in 08, 09, and 10.
Yes,
so it's not unprecedented.
Right. Did he also write that Brady would say in time versus time that he feels underappreciated along with Giselle? Did he also predict that?
He never said that.
Well, yeah, he hinted at that too, Rich. Yes, he did.
Hinted?
Did he write that also?
What he did write, though, is that in 08, 09, and 10, that he did miss parts of this off-season training program. So it's not unprecedented like Brady's trying to make it sound.
Okay. No, and I appreciate that. Then
has missed part of the voluntary workouts before, but we're talking about phase one and phase two where it's only weightlifting and conditioning, which Brady does in his own way. This is phase three where you can actually go 7-on-7 and 11-on-11. Brady doesn't miss that.
Vince said, be careful, you're upsetting Rich.
Yeah.
So there you go. Just what Andy and Jericho says, Arnie, I can't read that.
He goes, Arnie, when you're in a marriage, you said when you're in a marriage, there's going to be a breakup. He goes, I'm in a marriage and I'm not anticipating a breakup. Okay. Is that wishful thinking?
Well,
or is that a mistake of the day?
Yeah, well, that's because, you know, between Brady and Belichick, eventually there has to be a breakup because they're not going to be together for the rest of their lives. So eventually, you know, something is, you know, going to be broken up there. So, yeah, and I think there is a lot of controversy there.
And his former teammates, Rob Ninkovich and Matt Chatham, who have been very, very pro-player and very, very pro-Brady and said this is not a deal throughout, they even acknowledged that if he didn't show up today, this is the first time they would think it mattered. And those are his former teammates and former guys in the NFL also value their free time, too.
I mean, there are moments when I start thinking, well, when you start realizing – maybe there is more to it than Brady not showing up because of the fact that he wants to be with his family. When you start talking about some of the people making a lot more, does it finally, after 18 years, matter to him that Jimmy Garoppolo is making a ton more than him after backing him up for the last 3 or 4 years? Yeah. Does it matter that some of these ridiculous guys, Tyrod Taylor is making more money than Brady?
And that's a good point about Jimmy Garoppolo. If Jimmy Garoppolo was still there and threatening for Tom Brady's job, I don't think Tom Brady wouldn't be there.
Hell no. Tom Brady would not be on vacation. Why, you say he wouldn't be at OTAs?
No, I'm saying he'd be at OTAs.
Oh, yeah, he's damn right
thing
he would
said
be.
In this segment, I agree
yeah,
with.
Yeah, he's damn
if
right.
If there was a threat there, he would be there.
Yep. All right, we'll finish out the hour. Rich's old job has some changes. We'll get into that as we finish off hour one. You're in the huddle on 101.3.
The huddle is back. I'm sure you missed us. 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. What is going on with Rich's old, the Connecticut Tigers? Is that what you did
last
year?
No, they're not the Tigers. They're now the Connecticut Lobster Rolls for one night.
For one night?
Against the Lake Monsters, no less.
Is this the home game I'm taking?
Oh, yeah, down at Dodge Stadium.
All right, tell me the story on this. What's going on here?
Well, I mean, go ahead, Brady. Explain. I mean, this is a common thing now in minor league baseball. It's about merchandising.
Yes, minor league teams now, a lot of teams have names that their name in general is something weird, fan-voted. Like, you have the, like, long before the New Hampshire Fisher Cats, there was the, long after that, now there's the Binghamton Rumble Ponies.
Yeah, Tim Tebow plays there.
Yeah, so, like, it used to be everybody was, like, the Binghamton Mets. Like, they'd be the name of their parent club. Now it's, like, fan voting as weird as you can get. The Stone Crabs in Charlotte, things like that.
The Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp.
Yes. So that's just a way to sell more hats and inject more energy and get more T-shirts in. But teams will also do this, like, random one-night-a-game year where they take something related to the area. And I guess, what are these things? The lobster rolls is a big thing in the New England area. So
I don't like lobster rolls.
That is why Connecticut is jumping on that. the Rochester Red Wings, which are the Twins affiliate, last year became the Rochester Garbage Plates for one game. Because that is the signature dish of Rochester.
So instead of the Lake Monsters, we could be like the Vermont Arnies. You know, there's a college team that their nickname is Arnie the Cornair or something like that.
The Lake Monsters are already kind of a...
Yeah, but you could change it for one day, right?
Yeah, but I'm just saying that's already like something about the area that's unique.
It is, that game is going to be the Lake Monsters against the Lobster Rolls. How far do you have to take this?
What else could we name for if we were going to change the Lake Monsters name for one day to something unique? What would we have it?
Well, whoever pays the most. I mean, let's get to the real gist of what this is all
the
about.
The Vermont Ben and Jerry's.
The Vermont Church Streets.
Yeah, the Ben and Jerry guys.
The Vermont Jerry Garcias.
Yeah, I guess I could see something like that.
They're all dear friends of mine. I love them to death down there in Connecticut. This is a cash grab. That's all it is, and everybody's doing it. Basically, you go to their website, and it just inundates you with merchandise that you can buy, and they will officially be called for this one game July 14th against the Lake Monsters down at Dodd Stadium.
What's the mascot going to look like?
And the PA guy will say it. The radio voice will call them the Lobster Rolls. They will be the Lobster Rolls.
Would you have enjoyed calling a game this summer for the Lobster Rolls?
I'll tell you what. It took me 3 years to stop calling the Lake Monsters the Expos. What was it? The Lake Monsters the Expos. Yeah. So if you're asking me to do that for one night, hell no. It would have been a mess.
The lobster roll. I could see like a hot dog bun with a bunch of lobster stuffed in it. That's
what it is.
Yeah.
But, I mean, can you imagine being taken seriously as a play-by-play guy? And the lobster rolls win!
Jay in Plattsburgh says he got a Rochester Garbage Plates hat and shirt yesterday.
I would love to see that.
Mission accomplished.
I have the hat. I'll wear it tomorrow.
A garbage plate one?
Yeah, I have a Rochester Garbage Plates hat.
That is awesome.
Yeah, it's minor league baseball just trying to figure out how to make extra money. I don't think these teams don't make millions. They really don't.
Evidenced by your salary.
Yes.
When you were there.
Yes. They could pay for my massive salary.
Yes.
I have a baseball shirt, but you guys say it's so offensive I don't wear it anymore.
Yes, it is. Okay. Don't even say it.
Well, if Brady thinks it's offensive, that means I won't.
But it was a real team, though. A long time ago.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Jamie in St. Albans said we could make the Lake Monsters the Green Mountain Micro Brews. That would be a good game.
Vermont Creamies said, Andy, I like that one.
The key is you wouldn't have any trouble getting sponsorships in any of those.
Here come the Creamies taking the field.
Creamies. Yes. He really creamied that one.
That's pretty good.
I like that. He creamied
that
one.
The Fighting Syrup Gatherers. No, we can't say fighting, Mike. Can't say fighting. That's not PC.
You can say that. Fighting Irish.
Yeah, but that's under consideration.
You can still say fighting.
Yeah, the Fighting Creamies.
They should be the Vermont Huddles.
I was thinking of that, but yeah, that doesn't have a good flow.
Talk to the boss. Yeah. We can make it happen.
You can make it work.
The Vermont Champlain Valley Game Nights. How's that?
That'd be good. There you go.
Imagine putting that across some shirt.
I just put
CVGN across the chest.
Brady, you should play one game. Come on, man.
I'm getting ready. My game yesterday was rained out, so I'm ready. My arm's in good shape.
I can't believe you can't get one game on Vermont Lake Monster.
Are you kidding? Really?
I'm not affiliated.
You'd get creamed.
No, he would not.
Wow.
Okay, you'd get creamied.
Wow.
How's that?
One game.
Put him in the ninth inning of a 12-1 deficit.
Put him in right field.
I'm all for that.
If they can play defense behind me, pitch to contact, Rich.
Play
not
right
every ball's going.
Jeez.
Not all these 18-year-olds are hitting the ball over the wall.
Gosh, your 98-mile-an-hour slider.
Hour one in the books. We'll come back right after the Brady Sports Center update. We'll get you ready for hour two. You're in the huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Back to the huddle, where you can give us your take at 802-655-6672. Providing Arnie shuts up long enough to let you get a sentence in. 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in the huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. A Monday starting the week off. Lots going on. By the way, we will have the Game 6 tonight, Tampa Bay and Washington. Tampa up 3-2 in that best-of-7 series out there. Washington trying to hang on and get this thing back to a game number 7, so we'll see what happens there. What, pregame 7:45, is that when the puck drops?
The home team finally won a game the other night, Tampa.
Washington's like 3-5 at home. They're on Vegas Golden Knights. How great is that, by the way? Just a little side note.
Unbelievable.
I saw one of the gambling guys put out a tweet, please send me your pictures of your Golden Knights betting ticket, I think there was 12 people that bet anywhere between like $40 and a couple hundred dollars. And let me tell
what?
You, for the Golden Knights to win the Stanley Cup, and they were 500 to 1. And there was some guy bet $50, got him back $25,000 if they win. So yeah. There's some serious dough being out there, you know, being the waiting to be collected by some gamblers
it's
out there.
It's the biggest story in sports by far, in my opinion. The problem is it's a Western team in the NHL, and nobody down here cares, which
Brady,
is a shame because it's a huge thing.
I equated it to this. That's like the NBA going back to Seattle and then Seattle winning the NBA championship.
That's different. I think this is bigger, actually, because Seattle, number one, has already had a market, and two, has already been established as a good market for the NBA. Vegas was a total unknown.
Yeah, but it goes with the players, though, too. Remember, they made it very
easier for the team to be good in the way that Columbus and Minnesota didn't have.
Well, they got Marc-Andre Fleury, which was a huge thing
because they couldn't protect him. I mean, that was huge.
I mean, there was no point in Pittsburgh saving him because Matt Murray was the man. Everybody knew it, and that was a huge coup for Vegas to get him. But, you look at what's his name, William Karlsson. I think he had 41 goals. His career high was like 10 or something.
Now,
I mean, everybody's way over their heads.
Can you imagine now if you didn't get tickets to the Knights, you're going to be clamoring to get them for the Raiders, the following year? And whenever an NBA team's going to come by, forget about that. You're never going to get tickets. People are going to swallow those things up as fast as they come around. Vegas is a new hotspot for professional franchise. I promise you that. Now that the Raiders are going to be going, it's just a matter of time before there's going to be NBA. And Brady, is there going to be baseball? They had the Las Vegas
51s.
Yes, 51. Yep.
And what do they have now there, though?
That's Triple A.
That's what they have.
Oh, they have right now?
Yes.
Okay, so, and they're a pretty good baseball.
Oh, yeah, it draws big crowds.
I mean, Bryce Harper was from there. And
Chris Bryant.
Yeah, so I would think that,
No, you're right. Las Vegas.
Spot.
I mean, they sold 10,000 season tickets before the arena was even built for the Golden Knights.
That's just insane. So, yeah, I could see baseball going there, and then you add them to the division with Arizona and then Colorado, the Dodgers.
And all the opponents come in. They're too hungover to perform, and everybody wins at home.
Are you happy to see Vegas doing this, or are you the original Sixer of hockey? Are you upset?
I am. I'm not upset at all. I think it's the best that, like I said, I think it's a huge story that's being ignored, basically, and I don't understand why. But I just don't think people care about Western NHL teams back here. That's the problem.
Yeah.
If this were somebody in Pittsburgh or Philly, or I can't use them as examples because they've been around, but I mean the fact that team even had a winning record is unbelievable.
You know what though? It is unprecedented to see a team doing this. But let's remember, I mean, the Panthers and Jaguars got to the AFC and NFC championship games 2 years in.
But the they got to take. What, correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't they have like the first pick every round?
I mean, the expansion draft.
Yeah, they got the first pick. And then the bottom pick, and the first pick and the bottom pick. Isn't that the way it worked with them? They got extra picks to compensate them for, you know, being an expansion, or am I wrong on that?
I am not
sure. I'm pretty sure they got some extra draft picks on that.
I'd have to look at the way it worked. I remember Tony Boselli being their number one pick for Jacksonville.
But I'm pretty sure they got extra picks, so they weren't going to be so lousy. And that's why they were able to overcome and become so good quickly. I could be wrong, but you could double check that.
No, but I mean, the Florida Panthers, you mentioned them, had the 1994.
And no, the Carolina Panthers.
Okay, I thought you were talking about the Florida Panthers because they were one of the best.
Yeah, they got
a team that was pretty good.
They lost to the Avalanche in like 95, 96, and Huey Krupp had a goal in triple overtime.
Huey Krupp.
There you go. Don't tell me I'm not a hockey guy.
Wow.
Buffalo Sabres.
All right, Brady, what do we got coming up? Tell everybody, and then what do we got coming up this week? And we got Burger Bar tomorrow, too.
Yeah, trivia at Burger Bar, as you said, 7:30 to 9:30 tomorrow. I'm trying to get my men's league team down there to come out, my men's league baseball team.
Wow.
To come out. So bring the whole crew out there, half-price appetizers and some discounted drink specials as well, including $3 Coors Lights, $2.50 Miller Lights, $3 Blue Moons. So remember, you can listen to the show on your Amazon Echo device now by saying enable 101.3 ESPN and then just open 101.3 ESPN. You can get in Mistake of the Day, brought to you by Embroidery Works, Joann's Uniforms in Colchester, helping small businesses with screen printing, embroidery, and vehicle lettering to get it right the first time. Did you see, real quick, before we get back into the Celtics, did you see Steph Curry?
Yes.
Did you see? So
I'm sick of him.
Really?
What? Yeah,
this is funny.
Well, I don't think it's funny because I'll say I black out right now and I'll drop curse words and I wouldn't be have a job, would I? Yeah. He blacked out. He's full of baloney. I mean, come on now. We do radio every day. How many hours a day? We have colleagues all around the country, and they don't use curse words. They don't black out during their work. And
I think he's just joking.
Yeah, but we're talking directly into a microphone, and we know it.
He's not joking. He meant it. Either he meant to say the words, or he said
yes,
he
meant
out.
To say the words.
Yeah, I don't think he wanted to admit it, though.
He said, "This is my effing house."
Right.
Yesterday.
Basically, he pulled an Ortiz, except it wasn't quite as blatant as Big Poppy's.
Well, sure, he was happy because he had a bad 2.5 games up till then. I mean, he was stinking up the joint. He was horrible. No,
they're fine. They're on their way.
And then his mom said, you can't talk like that. So it just got me wondering, do any of our listeners for the text line only have any embarrassing mom stories?
Like
your mom did something embarrassing to you in sports. Like my best friend, the one who I'm going to his wedding and I'm the best man, his mom walked out on the field to give him sunscreen. I thought that was pretty bad.
That is really
bad. My parents
bad.
Never went to any of my games.
Because you didn't play anything.
Well, I played basketball.
Wow.
Yeah, I never got off the bench, though, so yeah, you're
so
right.
There was no need to get angry.
There was no need to come to
the
games.
Unless your mother was one of those crazy parents who screams at the coach for not playing his kid, even though he's no good.
I think the only embarrassing thing I had is like when it was senior night and everybody's parents came, my parents still didn't come.
Sad than it is funny.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, for me, mom was, she showed up at some of the games, but she just had fun. She was just happy to be there. And it was mostly dad who was a little bit louder.
Yeah? What did he do to
embarrass? Well, no, he just would, you know, he'd disagree with a lot of umpires' calls and things like that, especially when his little Richie was at the plate.
Those aren't embarrassing stories either. I need something embarrassing, like your mom coming out on the field with sunblock.
You have that, Brady? Something like that happened to you? Or
that
what?
Wins. He just said it.
No, I mean,
no, that wasn't me. That was my best
friend.
Yeah.
Right.
But I need some stories like that. That's all. Yeah. I'm just wondering who's got an embarrassing. I mean, come on. With the way you and your wife are, tell me you embarrass Chase in some way.
No,
I can't
but
imagine.
I can imagine you. I can imagine your wife going out on the ice and saying, "Shay, you forgot your gloves."
I would never go out on the ice because I was afraid I would slip and break my head. So you know, I didn't want to split my head open and have bleeding all over the place. So. No, I you know, it's tough to really do stuff when, you know, a kid's laying down on the ice. So I really wouldn't, you know, go to that aspect of it. Though I have seen some parents. My brother does that. You know, his daughter got hurt in basketball. He walked onto the court and had words with, and he showed me the video. He had words with one of the other parents. He's always having words with one of the other parents.
You want to see some fun fan behavior, go to the Vermont City Marathon this Sunday. Just check out some of the way people dress and the cowbells and the whole deal.
Shane in Burlington says, my mom rocked ugly sweaters and an ear-piercing cowbell for the majority of my youth hockey career.
That's pretty good. The cowbell.
The mom
good.
With the cowbell. I'll say that one again. That's all you're going to hear this Sunday if you're downtown is cowbells.
I mean, I would yell. My wife would yell like a penalty because I wouldn't know the game as good as well as her.
Right.
And I would just repeat what she said.
I can't even imagine the two of you at your son's game. I would have to be escorted to the other side of the arena.
I mean, I've yelled before.
Really?
People have yelled back at me, but that's just typical. That's not embarrassing. That's a way of life for the Spaniards. That's all that is.
My parents were good. So it was, they were fine.
Yeah, I've seen a coach. There's one story, but it wasn't with me. It was one game going on, and the other coach was just screaming bloody murder, and they had a penalty called on him. And there was a guy in the stands, and the parent was screaming also, like, how could you call that? And there was about 4 minutes left in the game, and he said to the parent, get the hell out of the ring.
Yeah.
And the parent said, what are you going to do? I'm not leaving. And we were up by a goal at the point.
Right, right.
So he goes, you want to see what I'm going to do? He took the puck, held it in his hand, and the official goes, start the clock! And the clock starts, and the guy standing there, 4 minutes, goes down to 3:30. Now all the parents are yelling, get out,
right.
Get out. He's standing there. Now it's down to 3 minutes, and they're throwing things at him. Get the hell out of here. He's walking out.
That's,
you know?
Brilliant. That's
Is that great? Is that awesome or what?
Denise said, and of course I can't get my computer to work. Hang on. I can't read what Denise said. I'm starting to sound like you.
Yeah, Denise said, I got caught cursing in the locker room after basketball practice in high school. Gym teacher heard me and asked me where I learned that. I told her from my mother. She marched down to my mom's classroom and asked my mom. Thankfully, collaborated my story.
Paul in Essex
says, cool mom.
Paul in Essex says, my mom Facebook status is that my baseball uniform was washed and folded, ready for me to pick up at my house. I'm grown. It was when I was playing men's something.
Men's league. Yeah.
Men's league ball just a few years ago.
And I can't read what Vincent
says. No, of course not, as usual.
As usual there. So, yeah, that's some of the craziness going. I mean, look, again, in hockey, I've seen some crazy hockey parents. I told you one hockey parent when my kid was playing, this one father was getting it into having words with the kid's coach. And he said, let's take this. The coach said, let's take this outside. And the guy was Russian. So as the coach went outside, I saw the guy pick up a pen, snap it in half, and stick it in the guy's neck. And they had to call the ambulance. And the guy had the pen stuck in his neck, bleeding, screaming, "Mom, what did you do?" And the Russian guy was laughing.
That's nice.
Yeah.
I missed that.
Yeah. Mike in Georgia. Good.
Mike in Georgia, top that story. You're in the huddle on 101.3 ESPN. What's up, Mike?
I think I can top that one.
Wow, I can't wait. Yeah.
I hope not.
Yeah.
My daughter playing AU basketball. She's about what? 12, 13 years old. We were playing in Clifton Park.
Hey, that's where I'm from.
Yeah, I know. That's what I figured. And we were down there. We were playing in a place that looked like a hockey rink. And you, when you stood and watched it, you were up above, and it almost looked like a hockey rink. But anyways, the referees were a little bit be desired, and I was standing next to one of my fellow parents, and he kind of got on the ref a little bit, and then the referee comes over and he looks up at him and he says, one more word out of you and you're out of here.
Right.
So I look over at him and he goes, open your eyes. Right. So the referee goes, you're out of here. And then they noticed that there was an off duty policeman that was there that the referee knew. And he said to the policeman, he said, you got to throw him out. And the policeman said, I can't do that. I'm not on duty. So the parent eventually he just left to make it, just not to raise any.
Oh, that's better than sticking a pen in somebody's neck.
It's a lot less. It's a lot more family friendly.
Yeah,
right?
That's family friendly. Yeah.
A little more severe.
No, I appreciate that. That's a good story. But I mean, come on now, bleeding from the neck, almost dying. That's a good.
Yeah,
one.
When he said I can top that one, I wasn't sure would there be a death involved.
Wow.
Eli Winooski says my mom used to come to all my games and yell at the top of her lungs. It was always positive, but she had no idea that she was.
What she was talking about.
What she was talking about. I finally asked her to stop.
Hit a home run, honey. This is basketball, baby. This is basketball.
Who's you called baby?
Your wife is yelling.
Yeah, okay. I was going to say, not your mom.
No, not your mom. But first of all, it's more like wives are more embarrassing than mothers or anything like that. It's the wives that, you go into the games and she's just screaming at the top of your lungs for her husband. That's the part that drives me crazy. Come on, honey. What? He's a grown man. You want to cheer for your son, that's one thing. But cheering for your grown husband in a sport, get out of here.
Wow, hey.
That's ridiculous.
Your wife came.
She wouldn't cheer for me.
Your wife came to our Burlington Y game and she was clapping nonstop for you.
No, she was clapping because I turned it over.
Because
I was turning it over.
She was laughing at you, not with you.
She was, yes, exactly.
Did she go to your Orange Theory workouts and go, come on, come on?
Yeah, I won't even go work out with her because I'm afraid that she's going to make me crazy. So I won't even go ahead and do that. So, yeah, there you go. Some good stories out there on some crazy parents, no doubt about that. All right, and we didn't even get to Game 4, so we'll get to that. We'll talk a little bit about Game 4. We also got Monday Mirages. That is coming up next. You're in the huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Commercials are over, and the guys are back. The Huddle with Rich, Arnie, and Brady on 101.3 ESPN. Let's go!
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the Huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. Congratulations to Rich. He's finally got a call for somebody that's looking for a roommate. So we're very proud of you, Rich. Finally, somebody said, I will let Rich move in with me. So
$100 a month?
And by the way,
this
Rich,
person was a very nice-sounding person. So
yes.
And they listened to the show a lot,
wow.
So do not mock them.
No mocking. I'm just saying, Rich, you'll do cleaning, and Rich is a great cook,
what?
Too.
I make a mean spaghetti.
I thought you make mac and cheese, too.
Yeah.
Do you know how to make mac and cheese?
Yeah, and I order pizza like nobody
you
else.
You do. It's not like nobody's
business.
The way
business. I make those phone calls, it's great.
Pepperoni and cheese?
Absolutely. Extra cheese on everything.
Of course.
I could put extra cheese on liver and eat it.
And you're a fun guy to be around. Could you imagine
Absolutely.
Living with you? And the jokes constantly.
Plus, I'm never home, so it's the perfect roommate.
How great is that?
Yeah, $100 a month.
All right, it's time for Monday Mirages.
You having a lot? You having fun?
Yeah.
All right. Question one: you think Tom Brady and Gronk missing day one of OTAs is a big deal, real or mirage?
I think it's a little deal that they're missing it. I think it's a big deal how they're missing it. I think they're making a mockery of the whole situation. I think they're keeping everybody in secrecy, and I just don't like the way it's going down. You know, you mentioned the other guys that weren't going to OTAs, but yep. You knew why they weren't going to OTAs. We're not really sure why. We're just assuming, whoa, because he wants to spend time with Giselle. Well, then that's all you really had to say. But you
maybe
know,
he did.
To the, what media person reported that? I told you, Zesty Patriots had two different reports within 35 minutes of each other.
I know. You love this Twitter account, Zesty but, you know, Patriots
there News. There was actually other people that said they were going to be there, they're not going to be there. There were conflicting reports on that. It shouldn't be like that for the best quarterback in the history of football. They're playing games. This is not something that should not have been out. It should have been out in the media. It was a secret here. I don't like the way this is coming down. I think it all stems from that. So, look, I think it's a big deal that they're missing it, but I think it's a bigger deal that they're going ahead and keeping a secret from everybody out there.
So what is Zesty Patriots? Just to promote something I don't want to promote.
It's just a Twitter site that gives you all Patriot news out there.
Okay, some of which is true, or do they just throw stuff against the wall like everything else involving the no, Patriots?
Is it most of it true or not, Brady?
A lot of it is just corroborated reports taken from other people.
Yeah.
Sources.
So it's like, it wraps up all the other Patriot news out there that you get in one big Twitter account.
Okay.
I think. I don't
Mirage,
know.
I'm done.
It's absolutely real. And that doesn't bother me so much about Gronk because he's a tight end, not a quarterback. But when a starting quarterback is not there at his first chance to do 7-on-7, 11-on-11 drills, he's not there to work with his first-round draft pick, who's a running back, who's supposed to be the most dynamic, one of the most dynamic pieces to come into that offense in years, then yes, I'm going to say that's a big deal when that guy willingly doesn't show up.
Honestly, I've gone from 100% just despising this conversation about Brady not showing up to about 90%. I think you're only because I agree. Today would have been a day that would have made – I'm a little bit surprised Brady didn't show up. A little.
And Gronk might be there by the end of the week.
And he might be under contract.
I doubt.
Well, he's under contract already.
Right, but I mean, it sounds like he might go for an extension or sign an extension, which would be
wonderful. It sounds like it'd probably be more of incentive base like last year that could just up his money.
Okay.
So he's got 2 years left on his deal. You don't think so?
No.
You don't think they're going to restructure the deal?
No, I don't think he's coming either way. I don't care how much they give him, he's not coming.
Says the Dolphins fan.
Question two.
Wishful thinking.
You think Tom Brady would be skipping OTAs if Jimmy Garoppolo was still in Foxborough, real or mirage?
Not in a million years. He'd be out there. He'd be all panicked about it, kind of the way Ben Roethlisberger is a little bit panicked about Mason Rudolph. You know, it's like this. It's like you're in a relationship and your girlfriend goes, I'm going out with the girls tonight. You're like, okay, have fun. If she goes, I'm going out with Geraldo tonight. And you're like, oh, it's okay. You know, she said Geraldo's gay. I've got nothing to worry about that. Or then if she says, oh, but I'm going out with Fred tonight. He's just my best friend. He's an ex. Right. You know, I think I'll go along with you.
He took me through some hard times.
I think I want to go out with you, too. It's something. It goes to like that. You know what I mean? There's no doubt in my mind that Brady would be there in a heartbeat if Jimmy Garoppolo was still on this team.
No, I agree. That's that. Now, that's a mirage. When you start throwing Jimmy G into the equation, that changes my mind. And it doesn't change it. I feel strongly that Brady would have a whole different attitude towards things if Garoppolo was there. So I'm going mirage.
It's mirage also. That's a sweep for us all the way around. Tom Brady definitely, I don't know that he didn't like Jimmy Garoppolo, but he didn't like Jimmy Garoppolo's threatening presence on the roster. That was for sure. And the competitive nature of Tom Brady and the insecure nature of Tom Brady, which we know him to be a little bit insecure and looking over his shoulder a bit. Well, now there's no one to look. He doesn't have to look over his shoulder at Danny Etling and Brian Hoyer. If Jimmy Garoppolo was there, he would have to, and he absolutely would be there, which is another reason why I think this is a big deal. You're saying that you've already got it so wrapped up that it's not important for you to be there anymore? That's another angle as to why it bothers me that he's not there. Question three, Monday Mirages on the Huddle. You will travel up to Montreal to see Johnny Manziel play in the Canadian Football League for the Hamilton Tiger Cats. Real or mirage?
You know, I was going to ask you guys on the Tom Fair Tire text line, if we got like a couple of buses going up, would you all want to go up there to Montreal to see Johnny Manziel play? I say, hell yeah. I think I would like to go up there. What are the days again? You said it was June 9th and June 9th. August 3rd, there's the first Hall of Fame game is that Thursday, August 2nd.
For the NFL?
For the NFL. So there's really no games.
I don't want to miss that.
There's no games after that. for that first opening weekend. That's the only game. So, yeah, I would definitely go up to see. I've been to a Canadian, or I've watched Canadian football. I was up in Toronto. Yeah, I would definitely go, especially if I know that Johnny Manziel was going to play. Absolutely.
Pardon me for being so predictable, but tell me what day of the week either of those are. It's
very
important.
June 9th is Saturday.
Saturday,
August 3rd is Friday.
Okay, Friday, no, but June 9th, I'm there. Is there anything better than a June Saturday in Montreal?
Oh.
Count me in. That is very real.
Yeah.
The fact that there's a football game, whatever.
June 9th is the big day in Montreal, though. It's that whatever that big weekend is that
Jazz
they have.
Jazz festival? Or, is it the racing
island? It's not the racing. I'm going to have to look it
up.
It's
just for laughs?
I'll look up biggest weekends in Montreal, but it's the biggest. It's going to be very crowded in Montreal.
That's all right. It always is. Count me in. June, Saturday? Absolutely.
I'll say it's real because I'm interested in Johnny Manziel. Look, people are interested in good football, so if he can provide that, I think it's an interesting story. People are interested in human interest stories, and a guy coming back from demons is a human interest story. You like to see people better their life. You like to see people turn the corner, and you like to be there when they do that. So, yes, I would say yes, absolutely. If I was able to, I'd be more than willing to go to Montreal to see Manziel.
And they packed that place. It's a lot of fun, especially when the weather cooperates, which it usually does.
Hell of a lot of fun. Yeah,
it is. It's a great time going up there to watch an Alouettes game.
Let's see. I got to look up what this festival is in Montreal.
There's a festival every weekend in the summer in Montreal.
The Canadian Grand Prix.
Okay. That's pretty much a zoo. You are correct.
So
that redefines traffic jam.
Yes.
When Toronto has the same thing, right? Toronto has the Grand Prix.
Talking about traffic.
Well, I was there when they had the Grand Prix, and then I saw Billy Joel and Elton John. How about that as a concert, huh?
Yeah.
You like that, huh?
As long as they play nothing past their first three albums.
Wow, look at you. You got to criticize Billy Joel and Elton John, too. Oh, my gosh. Really? Really?
I'm a music snob.
I know they're not Millennium or whatever. I know they're not that.
This is the part of the show where Rich comes on and says, I was a music DJ for 30 years, and it's Rich Haskell, 101.3 ESPN Rock, where he does that voice that I can't stand.
Elton John.
Do your DJ voice.
I'm going to save it for the right time just to infuriate you because you won't be ready for it. See, now you're ready for it, so it won't piss you off so much. So.
101.3 ESPN, Vermont's best rock and roll.
A to Z.
Here's 100 minutes in a row of Led Zeppelin.
I do hate that. Question four. The Celtics will win tonight in Game 4. Real or mirage?
No, that's a mirage. They're not winning Game 4. This is going to go back two games apiece. Cleveland showed what they were at home. The Celtics showed what they were away from home, and that's a 1-5 team. No. This series is two games apiece. It's going back to Boston two games apiece.
All right, they got up 2-0, and I said I'm going to stop picking against them, so I picked I picked for them, and they lost by 197 points. So I am saying that is a mirage. They will, in fact, lose Game 4 tonight in hopes that I'm yet again wrong.
I'll say it's a mirage also. I think the Celtics win this series. I changed it from Celtics in 7 to Celtics in 6. Wow. I will stay with that, but I don't think they win tonight. I think the Cavaliers found a formula and a recipe to win. Backs against the wall. They were able to limit Al Horford on offense. He didn't have a single touch in the paint.
Right.
14 players got the ball in the paint the other night. Al Horford had zero touches.
Yeah, Thompson and Nance. Unbelievable. Yeah.
Thompson had, you know, the team is much better with Thompson in the starting lineup. I want to say he had 10 points and a bunch of boards. I mean, he played very, very well. And then you throw out there, they hit 17 threes. LeBron wasn't his ball dominant. I think the Celtics will win this series still, but I think they lose tonight. Question five, Monday Mirages here on the Huddle. The Red Sox should put Jackie Bradley Jr. in AAA when Dustin Pedroia comes back. Real or mirage?
No, that's a mirage also, because I don't think you understand the ramifications that you're starting here. You're starting the ball rolling, because if I'm Jackie Bradley Jr., if you came to me and you told me you're sending me down to AAA, I'd say, what? We have one of the best records in baseball. I'm a defensive standout. It's not like my bat is killing us. You have the best record of one of the best records in baseball.
It's an absolute hole in the lineup every time he comes
up. Yeah, but it's not that it's costing them wins or losses on the field. I'm giving you a defensive prowess out there. And okay, look at everybody else, all these youngsters out there, and you're going to send me down to AAA because I'm not having – and you kept me out of the lineup. How many times? Three – you played three in the last 9 games?
Yeah.
And now you want to send me down? I'll tell you what. How about you just trade me? Because that's what I would say. You're not sending me down. How about you just damn trade me if this is what you want? Now I want the hell out of here.
Right,
that's,
for it.
That's what you're going to do if you try to send them down. At least that's what I think. That's how I would react
if
you tried to send me down.
All I'll say is this. Your thought is well validated, but he does have an option left. They can send him down without asking.
No, but that doesn't mean I have to be. I would say, hey, get me the hell out of here. I want to be traded.
Okay.
Or I'm not going to report.
Talk about trading
report.
Low. You'll get a 34th round pick for him in return. I mean, you're basically just giving him away.
Not really. I think he's still got some value. I think he's got some value out there.
This is a tricky one because you love to keep him up there, but as a defensive replacement in the late innings, but who's going to come out? J.D. Martinez says he wants to be in the outfield all the time anyway, and trust me, with that guy right now, if J.D. Martinez wants to warm up the bullpen pitchers, you tell him, of course, Mr. Martinez, it's all yours, you do whatever you want. He is completely on fire right now, and I would not mess with his head at all. That being said, I just think a guy hitting 170 in lineup every night, no matter how good he is defensively, is not a good thing. I think his head is all messed up right now, like it's never been messed up before. And I think if he can get down to Pawtucket, you're taking a little bit of a gamble here, because if he goes to Pawtucket and hits 170, then you're in trouble. You've lost him mentally. But if he goes down there and does what he should do and hit 270, 280, start to make some good contact, maybe get a little bit of confidence back, you can bring him up as a different player.
It's a mirage because of the resume that he's put in. He's a guy who carried you for portions of 2015 and 2017 and made the All-Star game in 2016, wow, which people forget about. The resume that he has, I would not mess with that and send him down. When Pedroia comes back, the easy answer is you get rid of Blake Swihart. But they seem hesitant to do that. The one thing I'll say is this, Arnie, maybe we compromise and maybe we make up some knee inflammation or something, and Jackie Bradley Jr. goes on the DL for 10 days, clears his head. Swihart stays for a little while longer while they figure out what to do with him. Pedroia comes back in, and then we bring Bradley back and we address the Swihart situation. I'm not sending him down. But maybe I find a forced DL stint, and then we compromise.
No, I want to go. You got to trade me. I want to get out of here. Sorry. You have no room for me.
From this show?
No, I'm talking about Jackie Bradley Jr. I'm like, you know what? No. I'm not. You're gonna, if you have to go to that extent, you know what? Maybe we should. That's the short-term answer. We need to come up with a long-term solution. And obviously, I'm not the long-term solution, so get me out of here. There's plenty of teams. How much is he making a year, Brady? How many years?
$6 million, and he's got 2 years left.
Oh, there'd be a lot of teams that want that. Well, that $6 million's not a hell of a lot of money. Plus, you think you're going to
break
year's out.
Next year's probably, depending on how he does the rest of this year, it's arbitration, so you're looking at probably 7 and 10 for
buy low, sell high. But right now, he's low. Buy low, and hopefully he can break out of it. That's what I would do.
Well, if you're saying buy low, then why are you selling him now?
Well, you don't have a choice if you're the Red Sox. You don't have a choice if you're the Red Sox.
Yeah, buy low if you're anyone but the Red Sox.
Well, if you're gonna pick up Jackie Bradley Jr., it's not gonna cost you a heck of a lot.
I heard it was gonna cost. I forget who reported it, but a Boston reporter, I think Nick Cafardo, who used to be with the Boston Globe, at least maybe he still is even. He said he was hearing it was gonna cost you a reliever and a prospect.
Boy, do they need a reliever. Yes.
Oh, by the way, Big Dave said, please trade Arnie. What do you think? How about that? I guess we do have another starter on the Boston Red Sox that none of us thought about. Kimbrel.
Oh, because of what Tampa Bay did
with
Rolo.
Yeah, how about that, Brady?
We talked about that on Friday.
Yes.
The only difference.
Back-to-back, first pitcher to go start back-to-back baseball game.
Yes, but he's not. No, not true. Zach Greinke did it a few years ago because of some weird.
Really?
Of a weird game suspension or something like that. He started on back-to-back days.
Okay.
But nonetheless, your point's well taken. We talked about that on Friday. Kimbrel wouldn't be the starter, though. It would be like Matt Barnes or something.
Or
it would
Joe
be
Kelly
Kelly.
Right. Joe Kelly has started before, yes. So he might make the most
sense. I don't
understand
why they had to start him and then bring in the reliever for 6 1/3. Why the reliever couldn't have pitched the first 6 1/3. I don't know why that worked like that.
The reason why is because he was left. So Yarborough was the starter.
Right.
The guy who went long. He's a left-hander, so they didn't want him pitching in the first inning against Trout, Upton, and Cozart, who were all righties. So they played a matchup game early. So they put the righty in the first inning to pitch against all the righties and then let Yarborough pitch innings 2 through 7.
Ingenious.
It is.
What about the guy who threw 105 miles an hour?
Oh, what's that kid's name? He's a rookie.
Yeah, the kid for
Williams or something.
No, it was the kid for
he'll have Tommy John
for the Cardinals.
Tomorrow. Yeah, he'll be gone in 2 years.
Is that going to kill him or what? I mean, you can't throw like that every time.
Did you see the reaction in his dugout? Everybody was just like, woo!
I don't even know if that's true. Just because some gun says it, is that on?
You got to go with it.
105 miles an hour. We've never seen anything
and
like that.
And the movement. Well, Chapman's hit 105.
Really?
Yeah.
And the poor catcher had no chance on one of them.
Jeez.
So.
Brady, have you ever caught a pitcher? I mean, like...
throwing 105? No.
But you've been behind the plate or not, like, been a catcher?
I've most ever caught guys thrown in the 80s.
Well, and I hate that. It just hurts your hand like crazy.
Yes.
Catcher.
All right. Brady, what do we got coming up next?
Well, we've left about 100 things on the sheet. So do you want
to get to all of it? How about that?
You want to get to the Celtics?
We'll get to all of it. That's coming up next. You're in the huddle right here on 101.
Step one, watch sports. Step two, talk about sports. Now, back to the huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
Wasn't I supposed to play Big Dave in basketball? Now that I got a bad knee now, because I hurt it over the weekend, it's going to take me, I'm like 2 weeks on the shelf.
You're not playing tonight?
No basketball for about 2 weeks. I can't even go to Orange Theory Fitness for 2 weeks now.
Wow, I was actually playing today.
Were you going to play tonight? Look at that. No, you were not going to play.
Fun working with two old gimpy men every day.
My knee's like swollen. I banged it and I hurt it. Too many people are jumping on me and hurting me.
Why were they jumping on you?
I don't know why.
How did you hurt your knee?
I hurt it in basketball, and then I hurt it over the weekend hitting it against a staircase.
It's hard to believe any human being would be aggressive towards you in basketball with the way you trash talk. Go figure.
Go figure is right.
Talk about getting what you deserve.
Go figure is right. Now I'm walking around with a limp. Brady, let's start with game four. Because I just see the same thing that's going to happen in game three and game four. Maybe it's not going to be as big of a blowout. But when it's all said and done, it's going to be like a 10, 12-point spread. Cleveland will add another 6 to 8 points, and the final will be like a 20-point thing. And then we'll be looking at two games apiece as we head back to Boston for game five. Boston has been horrible on the road, going 1-5. And the one game they won, they had to steal.
Barely.
Because Philadelphia was turning the ball over left and right.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the Cavs are going to win this game. I still think when they go home, Brad Stevens will have a way to figure out, he'll have another new game plan to get a win. But tonight, just what you saw in game three, I think that's what makes the Cavaliers at their best. And it all comes down to LeBron James and his mindset. 29 shots in game two, 12 shots in game three. He was more efficient in game three. He got everybody involved in game three. He still scored nearly 30 points. He was dishing out assists, and shots were created because LeBron, I mean, look at the teams that play ISO hero ball. Okay, Carmelo-led Knicks where the ball just stops. Russell Westbrook, the ball just stops. Paul George, the ball just stops. LeBron is a ball stopper too, usually. Now, he's a great passer because of all the all the attention that gets put on him, but he's a ball stopper. He grabs the ball, he backs you down, and then he decides what to do with 3 seconds left on the shot clock. When he gets the ball moving early, this team gets open shots, Smith, Korver, others. That's when they're at their best.
And at the other end, we saw what happened when Thompson and even Larry Nance Jr., of all people, who's he? Is he a member of the Cleveland team? I mean,
he's the slam dunk champion.
They just absolutely swallowed Horford.
He didn't
win
the slam dunk, did he? He was in it. Larry Nance Jr. Did Donovan Mitchell win the slam dunk?
No, I think Larry Nance Jr. did win it, but I could be wrong on that because he wore his dad. I know he wore his dad's jersey,
and
they won the first round. Maybe he didn't win it. I don't know. I don't remember anymore.
But that being said, Horford took four shots. I mean, you have no chance of winning the game. I was reading a total of 19 Boston possessions ended directly via a Horford pick and roll, meaning one of the two participants or a Celtic player one pass away finished the trip with a shot, a turnover, or a drawn foul. And when you hear things like that, the key to me is if you are going to swell up Horford underneath, that's going to open up some lanes for a guy like Rozier. And we're kind of waiting for him to have that 28-point game.
By the way, what did you think of my theory, which I threw out nationally, that LeBron only taking 12 shots and not coming out, shooting, gunning, like not only the season on the line, but like his career as Cleveland is over if they would have lost this game, but he only took 12 shots. Does that mean he's coming back and all this L.A., Philadelphia, whatever is all a bunch of baloney and he is going to go back to Cleveland?
I think he's coming back anyway. I've never felt like he's going to leave Cleveland. I think that's where he wants to be. It's his home. Everybody he cares about lives there, and I just think that matters to him.
Is that too much nitpicking?
I think it's too much nitpicking. I think we're talking about an individual player who is known as being able to make good adjustments. Making an adjustment and understanding that ball movement is more important than him being ball dominant.
Well, though 12 shots, I think if I was him, I would have at least come out and taken,
Yeah, but he was 8 for 12.
I think I would have shot 12 in the first quarter.
That's what he did in game two and they lost.
Yeah, but that wasn't his fault, though.
I mean, he came out and he scored a bunch early, didn't get his teammates in rhythm. and they lost. The other difference was LeBron's defense. I mean, players were 2-for-10 on LeBron when he was the primary defender. Ty Lue said it's the best game he's seen from him in a very long time defensively.
Yeah, I am. Again, it was just disgusting from the very start. Mm-hmm. And I told you, once it was 9-4 in game, in the game, it was over. I knew it was over. I guess I could have been wrong, but I could tell that the Celtics didn't have any oomph after that.
Well, Friday I said I think Cleveland wins by 20 or 30.
Yeah.
So I wish I had been a little bit more sure of myself. But in other words, blowout city. That one was ripe for a blowout. You could see that coming. There were so many reasons and so many factors going into that game three for a Cleveland blowout. I think tonight will be a lot closer. I don't think the Celtics are going to let it happen. They've had a couple days to digest what went wrong the other day, and I think they're going to make it interesting. This is one of those Brad Stevens kind of things where he's got a little bit of time to digest what happened, and he comes back strong. That being said, I think Cleveland wins tonight by 7 or 8.
By the way, just a little note on the other game. I don't know if this is going to make a difference. Andre Iguodala listed as doubtful. For game number 4, with the way the Warriors looked, I don't know if that's going to make much of a difference, to be honest.
And how ridiculous has the playoffs been? How excited were people all year long? Not so much for Cleveland, Boston, but that Houston Golden State series. What have there been? 5 games in the finals, West and East, so far. Total 6. And the closest has been 13 points.
Wow.
I mean, that's. And even those games weren't really that close.
Yeah, in the league, you're right. The league lost the storyline it wanted when Kyrie got hurt. They wanted Boston-Cleveland, but with Kyrie playing against LeBron, and then you throw out just the blowouts that have been out west, and it goes to show you that when the Warriors want to, they're still the best. This might be a hot take, Arnie, but maybe you'll agree with me. I do not think watching James Harden is fun. I do not enjoy watching James Harden play basketball.
He has more ISO shots than anybody in the NBA.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that.
It's just not fun basketball to watch.
But though we didn't say that about Michael Jordan. He was Mr. Isolation also.
Yeah, but James Harden, I feel like, and again, this is going to sound lame. I get that because of how good he is. He's probably going to win the MVP. And it's not that he's not good. It's just not fun to watch. Yeah. I can only watch him. He plays this old man brand of basketball, but it just ends in a three-pointer. He lulls you to sleep. Jab step, jab step, jab step, one dribble, step back, and he hits the shot. And that's cool, but it's not in the same way that Steph Curry is cool. It's not in the same way that Jordan or LeBron are cool going to the hoop. I do not enjoy watching James Harden.
Jordan was electrifying. You never knew what was coming next. He scored all over the place. Harden is slower. He doesn't jump. I mean, you're right. He looks like an older guy there. And maybe it's because of that crazy beard.
Yet he dominates.
Yeah.
Yet he dominates.
You look at him and you go, how is he doing that? And they'll put up 41-15. And you go, how did that happen?
I'm not the big fan of holding it down and then throwing it to somebody else with 3 seconds left on the clock and hoping that guy's going to save you. So, you know, I mean, obviously all the stars do that. If they don't have their shot, they're holding it for a while, but
that's
not
what they do with you in the YMCA league. Oh,
all the time. Yeah. Just hold it and then dish it out to Arnie and see what he could do. We're not going to have time to how Belichick's going to treat Brady and Gronk when they come back, if they ever do come back. Who knows?
They're done.
Yeah, who knows?
Go Dolphins.
Great last story standing, people. All I could tell you is I promise you, you're going to love it. So that's coming up next. You're in the huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Go Lakers. Time for one last piece of news gone untouched throughout the show. Wacky or insightful? It's time for Last Story Standing on the Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, you guys are just going to love this. Larry Comas, who is the voice of the Preakness, Kentucky Derby, all that.
Friend of our show.
Friend of the show
just
now.
Just on.
Had a historic call back in 2010 with two horses. Well, I'm not going to give it away. Just listen to the two horses' names as he gives you the call. This was 8 years ago back in 2010.
Lady Mutata by a length and a half. Little Miss Macho is in second. After that comes My Wife Knows Everything in third. On the far outside, The Wife Doesn't Know is moving up and is now fourth and right alongside of My Wife Knows Everything. My Wife Knows Everything and The Wife Doesn't Know are moving together on the far turn, and they're coming after Lady Mutata coming to the quarter pole. Lady Mutata in front. Here come My Wife Knows Everything, and The Wife Doesn't Know on the far outside. Little Miss Macho is fourth or into the stretch. Lady Mutata, My Wife Knows Everything. Center of the track, The Wife Doesn't Know. into the final furlong. My wife knows everything. The wife doesn't know. They're 1-2. Of course they are. My wife knows everything in front. To the outside, the wife doesn't know. My wife knows everything. The wife doesn't know. My wife knows everything. More than the wife doesn't know. Miss Tallahassee was third.
I love that. That's the best part. Miss Tallahassee was third. I like this. And the wife, well, I'm already confused.
I mean, how do you
the wife knows everything more so than the wife doesn't know.
How do you keep a straight face doing that? I mean, I know he does a zillion of them, but
that is great. That's so funny. That was my last story standing, and you got him on the show.
I love the way he says, of course they are, first and second.
Of course they are first and second. I wonder if they were long shots or what, but how about that? My wife knows everything, and the wife doesn't know.
Are they relatives, these horses?
I don't know.
Arnie, would your horse be Stinking Genius?
No, I had a horse. Arnie's Choice. Arnie's Choice.
Like Sophie's Choice?
No, it was like that. Arnie's Choice. It finished third in two races, and it got sold for a whole boatload of money in Phoenix. Yep, that's what it was.
I'm looking it up right now.
Yeah, Arnie's Choice. We bet on it, and it was pretty much a hag, and we bet it, and it finished third, and we all made some money off it.
We have Arnie's Shadow.
I actually have a picture of me and the horse. I should bring it in. Who's better looking? Oh, wow.
Which one is which?
Wow. All right, that's a good thing to wrap it up now.
It's too easy.
No interns? No interns?
Intern Kevin.
Oh, intern Kevin.
Yeah.
I don't know who intern Kevin is.
Wow. When was he?
Yeah, where was he?
He's here Monday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays from 10 to 2.
Oh, he should be getting me Chinese food. All right. For Brady, for Rich, for Arnie, what's coming up on Champlain Valley Game Night?
Well, we'll go through batting practice, the best sound bites in sports. We haven't played that in a while, and we'll tell you a little bit more about Game 4.
All right. That's next. You're in the huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN.